You're listening to the Growing Leaders Podcast, episode number 23. Well, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast. It's always a pleasure to have you join in and hear from Tim and other special guests share about leadership thoughts, ways we can connect and lead students better, and ways that we can just lead ourselves better as well. Once again, we've got Dr. Tim Elmore in the studio with us. Tim, thanks for taking time out of your day. We know you've got a busy schedule, and we certainly do appreciate this. We've got a special guest calling in, and without further ado, Tim, why don't you introduce who's going to be sharing with us today?
Thanks, Jim. Corey Epler, thank you for joining us today. You've become a friend over the years, but we so admire the work that you and Rich and the team are doing there in the career-ready folks, really, in the Department of Education in the state of Nebraska. Listeners, Corey Epler is the Deputy State Director for Career Education at the Department of Education in Nebraska, and we wanted him on this program because they're doing some very leading-edge things. They're doing some new stuff, fresh stuff, really to help these graduates become career-ready. So, Corey, if you're ready, I'm going to jump right in. I just want to toss this opening question to you just to help listeners understand what you're up to. Can you share some of the new initiatives that the Nebraska Department of Education is completing to improve student development and help students become college and career ready?
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the conversation this morning. We've definitely have been really excited by the work that we have been able to do just in around career readiness for all students. And one of the things that I think is continuing to be developed and continues to be very organic is what we're calling our Career Readiness Toolkit. And the anchor piece in that toolkit is something that's brand new that we worked with Growing Leaders to develop, are a series of habitudes for career-ready students. In Nebraska, we have 11 career readiness standards that have been vetted and developed from Nebraska business and employers. And then so we begin thinking about how do we really help teachers integrate these concepts within their classrooms, but how do we help them teach students these skills? And we love the concept of habitudes, and we know the power of an image and what that's been able to do for folks. And so we went to Growing Leaders and Tim and said, you know, what would happen if we could create a set of habitudes that connect with our Nebraska career readiness standards? And we have the book in hand, and it's pretty phenomenal, and it's just been so exciting to see that project grow and develop. So we're thinking that that particular resource, the book, as well as lesson plans and case studies, will really be an anchor piece of our career readiness toolkit. So we're also going to begin developing lesson plans around career readiness, really thinking too about how do we provide authentic situations that students can work through. So really taking a case-based approach to those specific standards as well, and just letting students really experience what they might encounter as they get into the workforce. And that really kind of ties in nicely to another piece that we're really thinking that's really critical as we work towards career readiness is connecting with employers. In Nebraska, we have a really great relationship with our Department of Economic Development and the Department of Labor because we know that education is the pipeline into the workforce. Yeah. So they've been working with our career education team as we think about how do we help connect employers to education and how do we help students connect with employers. We hear stories from employers that students enter the job as a new employee and they have some very unrealistic expectations just simply because they've never been in a job before. So we're thinking differently about work-based learning. We've been developing virtual industry tours. So we know that in some instances, students in the western part of our state might not have the same exposure to businesses in the eastern part of the state and vice versa. So we've created virtual industry tours that highlight Nebraska-based industries and businesses. And it's an opportunity for students and teachers to just enter the business. For example, in our information technology video, they're in Yahoo, which is out of Omaha, Nebraska. And it's an opportunity for students to hear what work is like, what are the education requirements that they need, and what they might expect to do on a daily basis.
That's awesome. Corey, there's two things that race through my mind as you were talking. I love these two things about what you're doing. One is you're very forward-thinking. I mean, you're creating not just another book. That's just a piece of it. But this is experiences and case studies and, like you said, the virtual tours. This is something that's going to help today's 21st century learner really bridge the gap between school and work. And we've got to do this.
Absolutely.
As you know, over the last century, the classroom has become a very sterile environment. It's very much not like the real world. You know, it's very controlled, and you turn your paper in and lecture, drill, test. And that's just not what they're going to experience when they get done. So I love the fact that you're forward thinking, creating epic experiences for these students. But then I got to tell you, I'm loving the fact that you're backward thinking too. There's some timeless things you're doing. I thought of Horace Mann, the guy that's been attributed to creating the public school system in America. And if you remember, Corey, his original goal was to prepare students for the norms of society.
Right.
It was the normal school. That's what he called it. Well, that's exactly what you're doing. You're saying the norms are different now in the 21st century, but we're going to do what we need to do to prepare you for the norms of society. So my hat's off to you guys. You know I love you and Rich and the team. We talk about you everywhere we go because you are doing the job. And I know you're always tweaking and getting better, but thanks for all that you're doing there. Obviously, your main focus is to help students become career ready. What is it for you that keeps you motivated and fired up in the midst of all the changes? I mean, every year school's a little different and demands are a little different. What keeps you fired up and going?
Well, and I think about that a lot over the course of my day. And I'm a runner, and when I run, I process, and I think, and I analyze. And so, you know, Tim, the word that comes to mind for me is purpose. Mm-hmm. And years ago in my career, I had a revelation to where I fully was able to finally embrace that my purpose is much larger than my job. And that my purpose in life isn't where I'm setting from 8 to 5 every day. And I'm really blessed right now to be in a job that allows me to fulfill my purpose.
Yeah.
I truly believe that. So for me, it's that sense of purpose and knowing that it's much greater than a job and where I sit behind a computer and the things that I do. I'm just really lucky and blessed is a more appropriate word to have a job where I feel like I am fulfilling my purpose to make a difference for teachers and students and to make their lives better. And so, you know, I working in a bureaucracy can be frustrating at times. But at the end of the day, that's when I go home. That's what I just feel really at ease with is that it's about what's doing right for students and teachers. And I think that sometimes that's hard to remember. But again, when I'm on those long runs in the evenings or on the weekend and I'm processing the week or the day, I just have those moments where I'm like, wow, life is so great. And that I have this awesome job that allows me to do these great things for teachers and students, and it connects to this bigger purpose that I see for myself, and I know that's been laid before me in life. I know that's pretty deep, but I mean, at the end of the day, that's what really keeps me motivated and just energized.
Corey, I think my life is like yours. I feel the same way. I've got to keep my eye on the big picture and not get lost in the weeds, or else it is exhausting.
But
the term I have found myself using quite a bit lately is there is a difference oftentimes between your work and your job. Your work is the far greater thing, and that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
The job is a platform to do something even greater than just, you know, finishing fiscally strong and ending on time and, you know, all those things. So, well, let me shift gears. We've just talked about the changing winds. What are some of the top changes that you feel like you're seeing in the K-12 students that you work with over the last few years? I'd love to just get observations. I know every state is a little different, but there's a sameness to these students today who've grown up with portable devices, et cetera, et cetera. Talk about some of the changes you see in the kids today.
Well, and mentioning portable devices, that's what jumps to the forefront is technology.
Yeah.
And But I think with that, it's not just the device itself. It's the fact that students have access to the content or the information without a teacher.
Yeah.
They have the ability to Google it, for lack of a better phrase. And so I start to think about how that's so different. So from an educator's perspective, it's not that we hold the knowledge and that we're this keeper of this sacred knowledge that we're now sharing with students. That's not the case. You know, students can find anything, and often they're better at finding some of those things than we are. So, you know, I started to think a lot about, well, how do we really just embrace that? And because it's not going away, but how do we help empower students through that? Yeah. And I think a big piece of that is understanding and helping them see the reliability of information that's out there. Mm-hmm. How do we help them sift through information? How do we help them be wise consumers of information and really be able to articulate their beliefs and their thoughts about a perspective by using data and using factual evidence? So I think that that's a big piece of it, is just that technology has just really changed things and will continue to change things.
Absolutely.
I also feel like that today's students, and you mentioned this, that epic generation, you know, they crave this authenticity. Mm-hmm. And so I think we've really seen a demand for authentic learning experiences. And I always talk to teachers, too, about the difference between authentic learning experiences and relevant learning experiences, because I think there's a big difference, and especially on the career education side. As we develop curriculum and as we develop resources, we engage employers that are content experts in that field to tell us what's authentic. In a work day, if you're working in information technology, what are the problems that you encounter? What are the types of projects that you're asked to work on? And that creates this level of authenticity that I think sometimes is missing. So something can be relevant. It can be relevant to my life. But what we continue to try to do is to take it to the next step and say it's not only relevant, but it's also authentic. It's what happens in the real world. It's what happens when you go to work. So I think that that's something that is really continue to change, is students have that demand for these authentic learning experiences. Yeah. They want to continue to think about how do I apply this? How am I going to use this? And I think, too, what we're seeing right now in Nebraska is just, like I mentioned earlier, is that students have fewer workplace experiences. Mm-hmm. So as educators, we have to keep thinking about how can we help students experience what work is really like. If they're not able to be in a job or they can't find work, how do we help them in an authentic manner that really allows them to experience what work is like?
Yeah.
And that's hard because we get into a lot of rules and regulations that are there to protect students and to protect employers. So we have to think a little bit differently. And,
yeah.
and you know, that's where the virtual industry tour idea came up. It's one small thing we can do. But I think that's been a real change and a real shift, is that students just aren't working today. And so sometimes after they graduate from community college or from a four-year institution, the first job that they enter into is literally the first job that they've ever had.
Yeah.
And that poses challenges as well. And we hear from employers all the time that can sometimes be problematic. So those would be just really some of the key changes I think that we've seen and will continue to see.
You know, Corey, I have a question that just popped into my mind. So this is not something we've talked about before, but you mentioned a couple of times that this is the least employed demographic, and mm-hmm. it probably always has been, and maybe always will. I don't know, but young people are just migrating into adulthood, and you're right, their first career job, maybe the first job. Is there something you guys are doing that helps create a little bit of ambition? For instance, in other parts of the country, I'm not talking about Nebraska, but it seems like everywhere else we go, the ambition level might be low. And I want to be very mm-hmm. careful and be kind. But if they don't have to work, why work? You know, I mean, mom and dad are doing fine. They're taking care of me. I even move back home after college sometimes.
Yep.
Is there something you're doing that might create a little bit of a stirring, a little bit of an incentive or ambition in these students that when they're done with high school, they're saying, I can hardly wait to go to work using my strengths? What would you say to that?
Well, Well, I think really it's been connecting employers with teachers and with students, because, you know, sometimes from a student's perspective, the teacher's the talking head at the front of the room. Yeah. But when we can bring in an employee from a business that student is interested in, or a hiring manager to have some of those conversations. And so going back to this idea of authentic learning, so let's say that a teacher has developed an awesome problem or project-based experience for students. Instead of just having students present their project to their class, why not bring an employer in? Have that local business person sit down and critique them and provide feedback and open that dialogue. We found that employers want that opportunity. They really want to connect with schools, and vice versa. Schools want to connect with the employers, but again, sometimes the bureaucracies that we live in create these barriers. They're completely siloed. So I think that if we can continue to help students connect with employers and have those conversations, because you're right, I think we do, our students today, they do need, in many instances, that this truth of what life is really going to be like, and speak to them in that manner. And I hate that sometimes we're too afraid to really, we don't want to scare the students, so we potentially hold back a little bit. But I think sometimes we do need this hard dose of reality of what life is like. And I think that's okay when done in an appropriate manner. So absolutely. I think that sometimes our employers can really speak to that.
You know my heartbeat here on this. I believe kids are capable of so much more than what culture has asked them to do. We can help them want to work hard, to be challenged positively by this hard math equation or this project I'm working on. So I love your answer to that question. I think it makes total sense. All right, couple more quick questions. Many of the people listening may not come from a place that's doing the kinds of things you guys are doing. So given maybe a more traditional common setting, are there a couple of tips you would give somebody? Maybe they're a teacher in a classroom or a principal in a school or a dean, and you could say, here's two or three ideas you could do right where you are now to help get to this goal that we're building career-ready graduates.
Absolutely. Well, I think the work starts when students know that you care. And I'm reminded of the quote from John Maxwell, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Yeah. And I've seen that as an educator and as a classroom teacher, that when students feel that they have this personal connection with me, and that as a teacher, I don't just care about them as a student, but I care about them as a person, I feel like that's kind of that first relationship piece that you really have to have to be able to start the work. So establishing that relationship and letting students know that you care, and letting them know that that care is more than just school related, you know, that you care about them as
beyond
a person
that,
and their future. Absolutely. I think too is helping students see the relevance and the authenticity of what they're doing, and having those conversations about how does this relate to my life beyond the classroom, in every class, you know, how does this math project, how does this work in history, how does this in science, how is that going to be useful to me once I leave this room? And, you know, where we're at in our country and education, I wish we could just tell everybody that it's our student success is much bigger than a test score. We have to really continue to help think about that the score on the test is one thing, but how can we help students see that there's value in the process and getting to that? How do we help them really see that it's not just this end product that is the most important, but sometimes the greatest lessons I learn are through a process. And so I always tell teachers that when we praise students for grades alone, I think we do them a disservice. And we praise them and tell them, you know, great job, that's a solid A. Well, let's praise them on the effort. Let's praise them on the process. And let's really think and be careful about what type of goal we're asking students to work towards. And, you know, I said this earlier, too. I think that we just have to let our students know that it's okay to fail.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, in my life, I've learned the most from the setbacks and from the failures and the things that at the time I thought were completely devastating. But as I look back, I'm like, that's what I really learned from. And in many, many instances, that's where my resiliency came from. So if we are doing project-based learning with students, the teacher has to be okay with just sitting on their hands and letting students fail and letting them experience that, because it's not bad.
Right.
And we want them to be successful, obviously, but sometimes with that process, and that happens to us in life and that happens to us in our careers, is that there's just things
it's
that
normal.
We have to work through.
Absolutely. Very good. Well, one last question, and I feel like this is kind of a huge one. Obviously, you guys are wanting to build life skills and leadership skills in students as they graduate. What would you say are the top handful of leadership skills you'd recommend for every educator? In other words, we reproduce what we are. We teach what we know. What are some leadership skills? I believe teachers are leaders, whether they know it or not. What would you say to that? What's a handful of leadership skills you'd say if you could build this into your life as a teacher, a dean, a principal, that would be immensely helpful as you influence?
I think the first thing is knowing your purpose and your mission, and being very clear on what is your purpose and mission. And for an administrator, you know, perhaps that's the building mission statement and connecting to the larger district mission as well. And thinking about how do we use that mission and purpose as a filter for the things that we're doing.
Yeah.
I think that's really critically important. And once you're able to articulate that and you have that purpose, is I think leaders are inspiring. They have this ability to communicate that vision and that purpose with people and to get people on board with that. So thinking specifically about how do I inspire others? What does that look like? What does that sound like? And what does that feel like? I think that another skill is the ability to be an effective communicator, the ability to have empathy, yet the ability to be firm, and really thinking about how do I communicate my expectations to the people that I'm around, whether I'm an administrator working with teachers or I'm a teacher working with students. And, you know, I think one of the things that's most critical, especially in education, is the ability to be flexible. The ability to change and perhaps sometimes change on the fly. If we're so rigid that we don't allow that flexibility to happen, I think we lose opportunities to really continue to change based on how our students change and grow, too.
I would totally agree. If a teacher practices what you just said, we have an extraordinary teacher on our hands. You know, Corey, as you were answering that last question, I was thinking about faces of students that I know. And I'm thinking of one particular case. It was just outside of Dallas. It was a K-12. I think it was a sophomore in high school. But his school was good enough to do some of the things you're describing. It was a vocational school where they allowed the kids to try their hand at different, you know, careers and jobs. And this one male student really loved food prep. And so he was getting to experiment in that. Well, this class that he was a part of got to prepare a banquet for everybody in the school. It was a whole school-wide thing. And all these kids that were in culinary arts got to do this. At the end of the day, he was sweating, you know, just totally sweating. And one of his teachers came up and said, "Todd, how do you feel like you did today?" And he had tears in his eyes, and he said, "This was the greatest day of my life." And I thought to myself, that is what education's all about.
Absolutely.
When the kid gets the other day, he's sweating like hog, but he's saying, "This has been the greatest day of my life." May this happen in Nebraska and beyond. Corey, thank you for just hanging out with us for a few minutes.
Absolutely.
This has been extraordinary. I so appreciate what you're doing and how you just described it. So thanks a million.
Thank you. Absolutely. Glad to chat.
Awesome.
Thanks, Tim, and thanks, Corey. What a wonderful podcast we had today, hearing from the Nebraska Department of Education and how they're connecting with students and changing the way that they're leading the students towards a career. Not only are they just practicing it in the classroom, but they get to go outside those walls and actually see it lived out and see what a career would look like. I loved what Corey said today about his purpose is much bigger than a job, but he's blessed to be at a job where he is fulfilling his purpose. And I hope that can be said about each one of us. Regardless of what job we're doing, I think there's purpose to it. I think there's meaning in ways that we can pour out into others, regardless of our situation. We hope that you're able to walk away from today's podcast with a new truth or new idea. Corey shared some great ideas about what Nebraska is doing to further education, but we're going to be talking about this at our National Leadership Forum coming up June 19th and 20th here in Atlanta. We're going to be talking about ways that as leaders, we can adjust how we're currently leading to further impact. So we would love for you to check out our website, www.growingleaders.com. There we've got more information about the National Leadership Forum, ways you can get signed up, and we would love to have you there as we talk about how we can better impact the students in the classroom and in our different environments where we are leading. So until next time, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast.